That's it. You got to come here to hear these stories, man. So it was a couple of weeks later, and we were in judo class, and he said, stand up, Willie. I said, yes, sir. I learned my lesson. So he said, now here we're going to show you some throws. We're going to show you how to throw one another around. And, you know, so he threw me down. I jumped up. He threw me down again. I jumped up. I was like Jezebel. Throw her down. Throw her down again. He threw me down. I jumped up. He threw me down. 6 or 7 times he threw me down. About the 7th time, this got old. And I just laid there. He said, that's what you should have done the first time. But you see, if the devil knocks you down 7 times, get up 8. Say that with me. If the devil knocks you down 7 times, get up 8. I love it. Praise God. That's what you have to learn to do. You have to learn to be tenacious and persevere. Acts chapter 19, Paul goes from Corinth to Ephesus. When he gets to Ephesus, the first thing he does, you will talk about discouraged. He gets to a bunch of believers, and he said to them in verse number 2, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, boy, if you're in the ministry, and you ask somebody, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't know there was one. That'll be discouraging to you. But Paul wasn't discouraged by their lack of knowledge. He wasn't discouraged by their lack of experience. He just began to explain to them that they could literally be filled with the Holy Spirit. And once he explained it to them, the Bible said they all received the Holy Spirit. And then it says further on in Acts 19 that God wrought special miracles. Now you see, I bring this out because God wanted to bring those special miracles. But for those special miracles to take place in Paul's ministry, he had to hear that word, don't be afraid, speak and hold not your peace. You know what is hindering so many Christian people, so many believers today from walking in all of God's fullness is they're afraid. Zig Ziglar, great guy. We sang at several Amway concerts, Amway functions rather, rallies, where he was the speaker, motivational speaker. And he has a book called See You at the Top. That's a tremendous book. He called himself the number one flea trainer. He says, you can train fleas. You put fleas in a jar and put a top on the jar. And he said, those fleas will jump, try to get out of that jar. They keep hitting their heads on the top of that jar. Boom, boom, boom. After a while, you trained them. That's as high as they can go. And after you train them that that's high as they can go, you can take the lid off the jar. They'll never get out. He talked about little Jumbo. Little Jumbo is that elephant, that baby elephant. And they tie a rope to that elephant's leg and put that rope and a stake in the ground. And that elephant tries to pull that stake and get free because he's little Jumbo. And he pulls and he pulls and he can't get free. And after a while, he just begins to believe that this is what life is. I can't get free. Now he weighs 4,000 pounds. He's no longer a little Jumbo outside, but he's still little Jumbo inside. And they can put that same rope and that same stake on him. And the minute he sees that, he's been trained. I can't get free. Too many Christians have been trained. You can't get free. It's time to train ourselves differently. And quit letting fear intimidate us. Zig Ziglar says, F-E-A-R has two meanings. Forget everything and run. Or face everything and rise. Say that with me. Forget everything and run. Or face everything and rise. And literally, the choice is yours. So the miracles that Paul was to do in Ephesus had to be done by his boldness and his perseverance and his determination. He would not be deterred. We'll see this a little further in Acts chapter 20. Go to Acts chapter 20. And of course, Paul now realizes that it's time to leave Ephesus. And one of the most poignant scenes you'll ever see in the Bible is where the Apostle Paul is about to leave this church at Ephesus. He spent the longest period of time there with any church, 3.5 years. Folks, it's only 20 minutes of 11. I've got plenty of time. And he spent this time there, and when it was time for him to go, you know, it's always hard to say goodbye to something or somebody. It's always difficult. But that's what life is sometimes. You know, you meet people, and for one reason or another, they either pass away or move away or something like that. Listen, we've got sons and daughters all over everywhere. We got a young man that was born again in this church, filled with the Holy Spirit in this church, raised up to the ministry in this church, lived right across the ditch here with Dwayne in this little house. We rented that house for them, and now he's pastoring a church in Fort Worth, Texas. Over 600 people in it. Because one day he came in my office and said, Pastor, I want to go to Bible school. And I said, where do you want to go? He said, Jerry Seville's. I said, give me the application before you change mine. And I signed his application, and he walked out the door and went to Texas, and I knew he'd never be back because that was his destiny. But we got sons and daughters all over the place. We got a daughter in Southeast Asia. Glory to God. You're not the only one got a daughter there. We got a daughter there. Amen. And so Paul, you know, he's got this church and he loves them so much. And if you saw this in a movie, you could see the weeping. You could see them not wanting him to go. But you know, sometimes God will call you and you have to go. You have to go. My family, my mom and dad understood it better than my brothers and sisters did. But, you know, Sundays was the day mom had the whole family home. Well, we traveled. We were gone all the time. David's family sang every weekend, 50 weeks a year for 14 or 15 years. We only took 2 weeks off right during Christmas. And that's because pastors didn't want us during Christmas. And so they had their own programs. But we had those 2 weeks off. But, you know, I wasn't there for Sunday dinner. And sometimes my family didn't understand that I couldn't be there on Sunday dinner because I had a higher calling on my life. And you can't expect folks to understand that unless they've been there. See? And that's just like somebody say, I know how you feel. Well, you probably don't. Unless you've been through the exact same circumstances, we probably don't. I know we say that because we want to help people. And, you know, I know how you feel, but do you really? Well, I know somebody who does. Praise God. I know someone who does know how we feel. Let's get back to Paul here before I blubber. And so he called the elders of the church, and this is what he said in verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus, called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. Now notice this, he's talking about serving the Lord. He's actually serving this church, but he's serving the Lord. See, that's what you do when you minister. You're serving the Lord as you serve his people. When you go over to the west side of Salisbury and minister to those young people, you're serving the Lord, but you're serving them as well. So that's what he said, serving the Lord with all humility, with all many tears, trials, temptations, which befell me by the lying way of the Jews. I kept back nothing that was profitable, but I showed you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and the Greeks repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Now watch this, bound in the Spirit. Listen to that phrase. That's perseverance. In other words, you're at a place in your spiritual life where you have to do this just as much as you have to take your next breath. This is just as important to you as breathing. Are you following me? Many years ago, this goes way back, we were living off East Church Street on Linwood Avenue. My wife and I, we rented a little house there. Dwayne was a baby. And I was traveling with the Davis family. I had gotten a transfer and had weekends off, and I was going every weekend with the Davis family, traveling with them. And this is long before I knew anything about preaching or music, really. I just played guitar from rote memorization. They needed a guitar player, so I bought a guitar. When you buy an instrument that you don't have the money to buy it, you don't know how to play it, that's faith. Same thing with a piano. You just do it. If God's put it in your heart, then you go for it. You rekindle that desire. And I never forget this. Bob Davis had bought us a four-button. Ray wanted him four-button Edwardian suits. Now, you got to be skinny boy wear that. You can't be chubby tubby and wear one of those. And that four-button suit, and I stood in front of that mirror, and I looked at myself, and I thought I looked pretty good. Man. But I remember what I said. Do you remember what I said? I said this. I said, when I'm doing this, I'm the happiest I ever am, and I feel more alive than I ever have. Now, that's where you got to go. That's where you got to go with this. You don't have to come to church. You get to. You don't have to live for God. You get to. You don't have to be happy. You can. You don't have to be healthy. You can. You don't have to be prosperous, but you can. You know, these things are up to us. They're, you know, it's not really up to God. You know, not really up to Him. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit has witnessed in every city that bonds and afflictions. Now, that's the same thing that we were talking about with Jesus a while ago. He knew when He went to Jerusalem, He was going to be crucified, but what did He do? He gathered up His courage and steeled Himself. This is exactly what Paul's doing. None of these things move me. 24. Say it with me. None of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, but that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dare us even be tempted to think that that only applies to people in the ministry. It does not. Because all of us are able ministers of the New Testament. God has placed every one of us at this season in our life strategically somewhere for a specific reason. And we must persevere until we win. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has to become a tenacious church. When I say tenacious, we have to have that bulldog tenacity that we will not settle for less than God's best. I'm talking about individually and collectively. I want you to say that with me. I will not settle for anything less than God's best. The church also has to be a persuaded church. We have to be persuaded that God's a good God. We must be persuaded that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We must understand and be persuaded like Paul was. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. So we have to be tenacious in our faith. We have to be persuaded in our faith, and we must be persevering in our faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find persistence in faith on the earth. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. The tenacious church has to be persevering in the area of giving of ourselves. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let us not grow weary. Notice, grow weary. That's what happens when we're distracted, discouraged, depressed. We grow weary. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for in due season. Listen, God has a due season for you and a due season for me, and it's time for God to rain on your crops. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now here's a young lady over here. I've watched her play sports at Crisfield. And I was telling Lynette, I said, on the court, forgive the word, she's a beast. She's not afraid to dribble that ball in there among the trees, you know, and make that layup. She'll take the foul. She'll take the charge. You know why? Because she loves to play basketball. I don't know much about field hockey, but she's playing field hockey. But she's over here at Salisbury University preparing for God's next step in her life. I know her family. I know her spiritual genealogy, if you will. I know the seeds that have been placed in this young lady, and this young lady's future is bright, but so is yours. Amen. And somebody said, yeah, but Pastor, you know there's always somebody has a butt. Well, it's time to get off your butt. Pun intended. And someone will come along and say, yeah, but Pastor, I messed up. I failed. You know, I tried to do this and it didn't work and I failed. And hey, failure is an event, not a person. And you haven't failed unless you quit. You haven't failed unless you quit. And the Lord said, tell them to live a life of courage, perseverance, determination. I was looking for quotes on determination. I'm going to just read a couple of them to you. I had never heard this one before. It will never rain roses. Duh. It will never rain roses. If we want more roses, we must plant more roses. Helen Keller became deaf, dumb, and blind shortly after birth. Despite her greatest misfortune, she has written her name indelibly in the pages of history of the great. Her entire life has served as evidence that no one is ever defeated until defeat has been accepted as reality. Edward Hale said this, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." Abraham Lincoln said, "Determine that the thing can and shall be done, and then find the way to do it." And the Lord gave me this little spiritual poem, whatever you want to call it. This happened just as I woke up one morning. And this is how it came to me in the very initial stages. His anything makes my anything everything. And I said, "Lord, I've never heard that before." And he said, "My anything, the fact," as I prayed about it, "the fact that I was willing to do," and this is Jesus was speaking to me. You know what I mean when I say Jesus speaking to me. I'm not talking about, you know, he's in my room, you know, all that, curtains were moving. Jesse the Planist was telling this story. He said he was sleeping in this pastor's home one night in the bedroom, and he said he was having a little trouble sleeping, and he woke up in the middle of the night and he saw this figure. And just kept looking at him like that over his bed, you know, right next to his bed. And he said, "Get you out of here in the name of Jesus." And that thing just kept. And he said, "Jesus, do something about that." And that thing just kept. This went on for a couple of hours. He said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And he got up and it was a raincoat on a hanger. he rebuked a raincoat. So when I come on back. Hey, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. I'm trying. I'm waiting for everybody to come on back. So anyhow, when I say Jesus spoke to me, I'm not talking about the raincoat type deal. And I wondered how I was going to fit that in. That's how. So anyhow, when I had that initial, and this is the way the Lord works with me, he'll give me that initial thing like that, and then I'll come into my office or I'll sit down at home and I'll get a legal pad out and I'll write it down. As the Lord, and it came out like this. His anything makes my anything everything. Doing his will is what truly makes my heart sing. Too hard? No, not anything. For him who made everything. To serve him in all my ways and to serve him for all of my days. Makes anything he wants my main thing. To love him with everything that lives within me, no matter what my eye may see. I know that he did anything the Father did desire. Helps me to make anything I may do come on fire. So because he did anything that was needed for you and me, our anything becomes our everything. And in this life, it's the song we sing. So literally now, whatever I do for him has become everything. And I'm determined, and I pray that you're determined, that you will not be distracted, that you will not allow the devil to discourage you because, you know, maybe in the past you've messed up. And first of all, I don't know anybody who hasn't messed up. I mean, if you're perfect, I'm going to stop preaching and let you take the mic. If God can only use perfect people, there's only three of us in here qualified. If you've ever felt like your past is holding you back and you can't get up and start again, I pray you'll be encouraged by this. Whenever I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. A children's race, young boys, young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It was not hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win that race or tie for first or if not, at least second place. Their parents watched from off the side, each cheering for their son, and each boy hoped to show his folks that he would be the one. So the whistle blew and off they flew like chariots of fire. To win, to be the hero there was each young boy's desire. One boy in particular whose dad was in the crowd was running in the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as he speeded down the field and crossed a shallow dip, the little boy who thought he'd win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his arms flew everywhere. Amidst the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. And as he fell, his hope fell too. He couldn't win it now. Humiliated, he just wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which said to the boy so clearly, get up and win that race. He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and ran with all of his mind and might to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his legs and he slipped and fell again. He wished that he had quit before with only one disgrace. I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't even try to race. But through the laughing crowd, he searched and found his father's face with a steady look that said again, get up and win that race. So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. If I'm to gain those yards, he thought, I've got to run real fast. Exceeding everything he had, he regained 8 and then 10. But trying hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat. He lay there silently. A tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try? I've lost, so what's the use? He thought, I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. Get up, an echo sounded low. You haven't lost at all. For all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Get up, the echo urged him on. Get up and take your place. You are not meant for failure here. Get up and win that race. So up he rose to run once more, refusing to forfeit. And he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been. Still he gave it all he had and ran like he could win. 3 times he'd fallen stumbling, 3 times he rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the very end. They cheered another boy across the line and won first place, head held high, proud and happy, no falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line in the very last place, the crowd gave him a greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last, with his head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he won the race to listen to the crowd. To his dad, he sadly said, I didn't do so well. To me, you won, his father said. You rose each time you fell. And now when things seem dark and bleak and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my own race. For all of life is like that race with its ups and downs and all. All you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. And when the depression and despair shout loudly in my face, another voice within me says, get up and win that race. Father, we thank you for this today. We thank you for this reminder.